Do not adjust your screen. The Boston Celtics, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Dallas Mavericks, the LA Clippers all conspired to boot AEW off of TNT tonight, all because of some basketball game, insignificant basketball games that they had on. And for the first time ever, we are live on YouTube here on a Wednesday night talking about NXT on USA instead. The go-home show to NXT TakeOver 30 coming up this Saturday night, which will go head-to-head with at least part of AEW Dynamite. So there's going to be a little competition going on Saturday night. Join me as we dive into NXT right now, live, right here on the Salamonster Sounds Off YouTube channel. This is your NXT on USA review here for Wednesday, August 19, 2020. I am the Salamonster. It is your final stop here on the road to NXT TakeOver 30 coming up this weekend. I usually find myself pretty excited going into these TakeOver shows. And I got to tell you, you know, there was a lot of solid wrestling on the show tonight. And I don't have any doubt that come this weekend, we're going to get a very good TakeOver show because it's almost impossible for them to have a bad TakeOver show. But that level of excitement and enthusiasm that I normally find myself having before these TakeOver shows, it's not really what it used to be. And I can't quite put my finger on why that is. It just feels to me like there's just, I don't know. There's just something a little bit off. There's something missing here. But I do expect a very good show this weekend, and I will be back with you then live on YouTube as well. Also, I want to mention this. I've been thinking, all day I've been thinking about Kevin Castle, John Draper. I know today is a tough day for them. I've had him on my mind for part of the day. I just wanted to mention that. You know, the sort of loss that they went through, it doesn't matter how many years go by. It's just something, you know, trust me, it's something you never really get over. So hopefully they're doing okay. Hopefully they had a decent day, but I know it was a tough one for them. One other thing I want to show you guys here, and this is important because normally when I join you on a Wednesday night, as you know, we're talking AEW. And so you might be wondering, well, most people I think know, but there could be some people thinking, how come you're not talking about AEW? Because they don't really pay attention to all the announcements and stuff. Well, the reason is, and I'm going to put this up for you right now. That right there, as convoluted as it looks, is a listing of all of the changes to the TNT schedule. There's a bunch of preemptions for AEW coming up because of the NBA. And what you see here are the changes, starting with tonight. Dynamite is being delayed until Saturday. And there will at least be 1 hour of Dynamite that is going to overlap most likely with the NXT TakeOver show. Unless the NBA game, even if the NBA game goes long. There's going to be overlap, so I'm going to try my best. I'm going to be back with you live again on Saturday night, and we will talk about both shows. I'm going to try to watch AEW, the whole thing, and TakeOver. And that way we'll have kind of a big hybrid stream. Next week, I'm going to be back here with you again for another NXT review. And then the very next night, next Thursday, I'm going to be live again after Dynamite. So we're going to review both shows back-to-back days next week. It's a bunch of other streams that I'm doing. I'll let you all know about that later. And I am going to run through my TakeOver predictions a little bit later on in the stream. Did any of those predictions change as a result of what we saw tonight here on this go-home show? Perhaps. Perhaps. So we'll run through all that later. We had some super chats coming in before we went on the air. Nothing worse than dry chicken without flavor was number one. He was the first one, so I don't know if he's actually here tonight. I think he had a bow out, but I want to thank him for his support. Prince Walker thought tonight was a decent show, but he misses AEW. Chris Quillman, who I know couldn't make it, dropped $5. Wants to shout out all of his peeps in the chat, so I see you guys. I see a lot of familiar faces in the chats, even the ones that don't watch NXT. They want to join the party. They want to be part of the whole crew. They don't want to miss out. Well, I'm glad you're here. Crash with the $2 said it was weird watching NXT and watching an NXT stream. And a dry chicken without flavor was hoping for the Muscle Man dance. For the dancing Polygon Man. Oh, you're going to be seeing more of him. Don't worry about it. You're going to be seeing more of the Polygon Man as we go on in the weeks to come. And Prince wanted to know if I'd give a shout out to his wife, Tomoka, and his puppy, Bailey. Said his wife would love it. Well, I just did. Tomoka, it's a very unique name. I like it. I like it. So tell her I said hi. And Lord Frieza. Lord Frieza. Dropping the $10. Likes the way I say the name Cameron Grimes. Well, you're in luck because Cameron Grimes was on this show in the main event. I'll be talking about him a little bit later. And Alex Jimenez. Does Keith Lee sing his own theme song? I believe he does. I do believe that Keith Lee does sing his own theme song. I think, I'm pretty sure that Scarlett in the song for Karrion Kross, believe that she is also the voice. I mean, she's lip-syncing. It would be kind of weird if she was lip-syncing someone else's voice. So yeah, I got a lot of singing going on in NXT. Anyway, Alex, you are now on the leaderboard in the top spot. So I thank you. So let's get going here. Now, if you missed the news earlier, I do want to cover this. Since this is technically a WWE stream, I think we can start with this, right? I think we can start with this. There was a big story earlier on today as it relates to WWE. And that was the news about Renee Young leaving the company. WWE has said nothing. WWE has said nothing publicly about this. They have not confirmed. They have not denied. Triple H was asked about this on the Takeover conference call a little bit earlier on. He didn't want to talk about it. He didn't want to comment on her status. But it does look like she is leaving. First Kathy Kelly, now Renee Young. They're all jumping ship. They're all looking for other opportunities. They're tired of this. They want to go do other things. No word yet on what her final date is going to be. She is expected to be part of SummerSlam this weekend. It's not an instantaneous thing. No, I don't know if there's a non-compete like there is for talent. I wouldn't think there is, but there could be. But she is supposed to be at SummerSlam or part of SummerSlam in some way. But this was her decision. This is said to be her decision and her decision alone, which of course it is. WWE does not want to lose Renee Young. They're not going to get rid of Renee Young. They made a big play for Renee a few years ago when there was some interest from ESPN, which doesn't surprise me. I think she'd be a good fit on any of those networks. She just has that type of personality. Interesting, though, that she is leaving at a time when WWE is said to be reconsidering or considering bringing back Talking Smack. Talking Smack was kind of her baby. Her and Daniel Bryan, it was a great show, and I guess they talked a little too much smack, and so they took it off the air. Now, I know she was very upset about that at the time. Even her show on FS1, which I guess wasn't a WWE decision, but they basically ended that show. I mean, if you really stop and think about it, right? Forget the fact that her husband works for another company. They took all of her shows away from her. They took all of her shows away from her. The writing should have been on the wall. It was only a matter of time. I mean, what else is this woman supposed to do? As far as where she goes, I mean, that's up to her. I don't know. I almost think she's too good for wrestling. She can go do anything she wants to do. She could do a lifestyle and entertainment thing. She could be on a sports network. You know, she used to work at The Score, I believe, in Canada before she came to WWE. I think that's how she got noticed. So maybe she wants to go back. I mean, I know she's a big sports fan, so who knows? Maybe a Fox and ESPN has an interest in her. I think they'd be crazy not to. If I were them, I would make a play for her. But she would be a huge asset to AEW. I really think that she would be she'd be a good pickup for them. You know, she would be a good pickup anywhere she goes. So I was surprised, but I guess in a way not surprised to hear that earlier. Until she talks about it publicly, where she goes next, nobody knows. But anyway, that was the big story of the day. NXT. NXT opened with the first of two Last Chance North American Championship qualifying matches. We had two of them here on this show. Johnny Gargano against Ridge Holland. Now, this was the match that we had heard earlier in the week, because this was a taped show. We had heard that Gargano got hurt. It was bad enough that they had to stop the taping. They stopped the match. Triple H was concerned. He ran out. Shawn Michaels was concerned. He ran out. So it was serious situation. They didn't know how badly he was hurt. Obviously, they let him continue the match, so it wasn't too terrible. But Gargano supposedly even apologized. He apologized to everybody in the audience and everybody who was there at the taping for delaying the taping as if it was his fault. I mean, I suppose it could be. I mean, you can injure yourself by making a mistake, but they left it in the show. So we had a chance to see exactly what happened. And wow, it was even worse than I thought. Ridge Holland, here's the thing about Ridge Holland. Ridge Holland, I was talking him up last week. I had not really seen much of him before. I had seen maybe one match of his when he was in NXT UK. And watching him in that North American qualifier last week, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? I was very impressed. And there were certain things about him, his moveset, the way he moved around, his mannerisms, it reminded me of a 2002 Brock Lesnar. It was almost uncanny. Like, I'm watching him, and it's like, that's exactly who he reminded me of. Tonight, they didn't mention Brock Lesnar, but on commentary, Beth Phoenix said, I think it was Beth Phoenix who mentioned that it was almost like Ridge reminded her of a younger Rick Steiner. And I could see that, too. I like the Brock Lesnar comparison. When I look at him, I see more of young Brock than I do Rick Steiner. But I guess he's kind of a mutt. Well, Rick Steiner was a mutt. But he's kind of a mutt. He's like a mix of these different people. The point is, the guy's got raw power. He's got talent. He's going to be a star. I believe this guy is going to be a star, and maybe a pretty big star. If they play their cards right. But all that being said, all the potential in the world that this guy has, he fucked up. He made a mistake. This was on him. What happened here, and I'm going to show you guys. If you didn't see the show, I took a still shot. I'm going to show you. This is the moment of impact. And you can tell here from what I'm about to show you how serious this could have been. We're talking like inches away from catastrophe. It was very scary to watch it, in real time. So anyway, there's the still shot on your screen. I mean, just look at that. Holland was coming off the ropes. Here's how it broke down here. Holland was coming off the ropes. Gargano was, I think he was standing still, but he had jumped up in the air. Holland caught him, and what he was trying to do was give him a power slam. He was trying to give him a power slam, but he didn't turn his body enough. And so Johnny landed right on top of his, look at that. He landed right on top of his head, right on top of his head and shoulder. It looked very bad. Yeah, Quizzical One in the chat says, yikes. That was the first word that came to mind. Actually, oh shit was the first thing that came to mind when I saw this. Yikes is another. This could have ended so badly. And they came back from... I was shocked they showed this. I thought they would edit all of this out of the show. But they kept this in. The referee was checking on him, making sure he was okay, asking if he can continue. And he was selling it like maybe he was concussed, he was loopy, but they turned it into a spot here in the match where he was basically playing possum. That's basically what he was doing. Basically playing possum. He gave him a super kick. The match continued. So they wrestled on. And Holland, kept taking it to him. He had Gargano in a front face lock. He was twirling him around like a giant swing. He's flinging this guy around. And anyway, Gargano had the referee distracted. Candice was on the outside. What must Candice have been thinking watching this? She was ringside watching that as it happened. That's the guy's wife. Imagine what must have been going through her head when she saw that spot. I can only imagine. But with the referee distracted, Gargano kicked the middle rope. Holland had been between the ropes. That effectively delivered a low blow to Holland. And Gargano finished him off with the one final beat. Slingshot DDT. So Johnny Gargano is moving on to the ladder match at TakeOver. He will be part of the North American Championship ladder match. The outcome I expected, but he's lucky that he's even able to go to TakeOver after what we saw tonight. Nathan Kania with the $10, continuing his vacation through SummerSlam Sunday. Thank you for everything as always. Well, I hope you're enjoying your vacation. You didn't tell me where you went. I mean, is this a real vacation or is this like one of those Al Bundy vacations from Married with Children where you kind of gate off the couch in the living room and you just pretend that you've gone somewhere? Because that could work too. Vibes by Luxury with the $5. I'm a fan of Santos Escobar. Once he is on the main roster, do you think Vince McMahon will look at him and think that he is what Andrade could have been? Only in this way, in that he's fluent in English. You know, promos is such a key thing in this company, and I don't doubt that people like Nakamura and people like Andrade are hurt by the fact that English is not their first language. They are not, they have not mastered the language. It can be hard, even Asuka to a degree, but Asuka's great because she uses a lot of facial expressions and screaming and shrieking. She's very animated. But no doubt that it has hurt them. It has hurt them in this company, without a doubt. Escobar is fluent in the language. He's a great wrestler. He carries himself well. I think he'll do well. I think he'll do well. How well is remains to be seen. But the fact that he can speak the language fluently, believe me, I'm sure that's going to go over great. And it is going to give him an advantage over somebody like an Andrade, who talent-wise can match up with him easy enough, but his English hasn't come along as easily. Reconson, what's going on? Can't watch AEW or be in the stream on Saturday, so here I am. Wow, he's joining us for an NXT stream. Very cool. And Prince Walker, my wife is Japanese and helps me buy my New Japan tickets while I'm out here. And you said her name right. Good job. That's a good wife, buying you New Japan tickets. And Chris Pantaleao with the $5. Renee will do well. Reasons like this is why WWE does not build marquee stars anymore. I think it says something when you have these people who voluntarily opt to leave. I mean, to me, that speaks volumes. WWE is supposed to be the peak, right? It's supposed to be the peak of the mountain. So why are people leaving? Maybe they have too many people. Maybe they just don't know what to do with all of them. Dakota Kai against Jesse Kamea. This was a tune-up match for Dakota, heading into her championship match with Io Shirai Saturday at TakeOver. That is the NXT Women's Championship match. They gave Jesse a lot here. You know, for a match that really was meant to be a tune-up, they gave her a lot of offense. There was one offensive flurry late in the match that just made me shake my head. So Kamea is mounting a comeback. She gets Dakota down in the corner, and Kamea is going to come in with a sliding kick or a slide. I think it was a sliding knee. She was coming in with a sliding knee, and boy, I mean, it just died as she came in. This was the weakest looking sliding knee that I have ever seen. Basically what it reminded me of, it's like a baseball player who is trying to slide into home plate, but they don't know how to slide, and they die right before they hit the home, right before they hit the plate. Like they stop. And the guy just tags him out. That's what this was. She went for a slide. She didn't really get all of it. And it was just awful. It was horrendous to watch. But Dakota Kai won with the GTS. She cut a promo taunting Io Shirai when the match was over. That brought out Io. And Io was kicking her ass. I mean, Io got in the ring. She's beating her ass from pillar to post. She knocks Dakota out of the ring. Dakota's on her hands and knees. She's backing up towards the aisleway. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, who should show up but the returning Raquel Gonzalez. So much for her not wanting help anymore. There's her bodyguard. Maybe it was, I don't know if it had anything to do with COVID or what. It was just very strange that she disappeared. Now she's back. Who knows? Who knows what happened there, but she's back. When I tell you that this woman delivered a running boot to Io Shirai, Jesus Christ, she probably put an indentation of her foot in this woman's forehead. She booted the crap out of her. I mean, it looked great. I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of it. But, I mean, she came out there and just, boom, right in the face, kicked her right square in the forehead. And Gonzalez carried Shirai on her shoulder up the ring steps into the ring. Io tried, fighting back, but she was overwhelmed. Gonzalez put her down with this slam. It wasn't really a choke slam, but she kind of got her up in position, like a choke slam position, and just slammed her down to the mat. Just full force. So if there was ever any doubt, I mean, watching this, if there was ever any doubt that this woman is the diesel to Dakota Kai's HBK, then there can be no more debate. This woman is a unit. She is built. She's big. She is the enforcer. No doubt about it. That's her role, and I thought she played it well here. Maniac Madness 11 with the $5. Do you think there's a chance that they announce a match at Payback between Sasha Banks and Bayley against... I'm going to get to that. You're stealing my notes here. You know what they say, great minds think alike. Craig Brown with the $10. Man, I hope NXT gets some tag teams going again. It is really dull or non-existent at the moment. You know what? That's not just a problem that's limited to NXT. You take a look at the tag team roster on Raw and SmackDown, it is garbage. I don't know what is going on right now. I mean, everybody loves to shit on the AEW women's division, and I'll do it too. It is by far the weakest division or weakest part of that product in the company. You look at the tag team divisions in WWE right now, I mean, it is just at a low point. Just an absolute low point right now. And that goes for the men, not just the women. James Adams with the $10. Love your show. Finally was called back to work this week, so here is my long overdue contribution. Keep up the great work. Well, thank you, James. And Goohap the Great with the $5. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you all for joining me here tonight. Yeah, I didn't know. Again, this is the first time I'm doing an NXT stream. I've been doing NXT or AEW live streams ever since October, when AEW came on the air. So I didn't quite know what to expect tonight, but, you know, numbers are usually a little bit stronger for AEW, but we got a good crowd tonight. We're rocking a good crowd tonight so far. I like it. El Legado del Fantasma against Breezango and Isaiah Swerve Scott. They came back from break. Fandango... I would say Fandango. That's the movie website, right? It's Fandango. Remember when it was Fandango for a while after he debuted, right? Fandango, fuck yourself. That was a whole thing back in the day. So Fandango was running wild after the break, and he got shoved off the top rope, took a splat on the floor, and they had separated him from his corner. Right, so they're getting the heat on Fandango. Finally, in comes Swerve Scott. He gets the hot tag. He runs wild. Escobar catches him with a knee strike in midair. Takes him down. Joaquin Wilde comes off the top rope with a missile drop kick. When he does, he knocks Swerve into Tyler Breeze on the apron. Tyler Breeze had been reaching out for a tag. Instead, he crashed into Breeze. This was such a choreographed spot. And it played into the finish. I feared this might be the case. I didn't like this, but it'll make sense exactly what's going on here. He connects with Breeze, right? Knocks Breeze off the apron. Okay. So he hits Escobar with, I think it was a Falcon Arrow, right? And he thinks he has the match won. He's trying to go for the pin. The referee says, no, you're not the legal man. And he's like, what do you mean I'm not the legal man? He couldn't believe it. Because the referee, when they collided, indicated that constituted a legal tag. Even though he crashed into the guy, he clearly was not tagging him. The referee said, no, it's a legal tag. You're not the legal man. So into the ring came Tyler Breeze. He ran wild for a bit, but he got hit with the Phantom Driver and he got pinned. And I just hated that. I thought that was dumb, stupid, didn't like that, too convoluted. On the kickoff show Saturday night, which they call a pre-show, I'm calling it a kickoff show. It's the pre-show. I wonder why the WWE pay-per-views have kickoffs and the NXT takeovers have pre-shows. Like, what's the big difference here? Isn't that the same thing? Why don't they just call them the same thing? Why do they have to be different? Anyway, on the pre-show, it's going to be Joaquin Wilde and Raul Mendoza of Legado del Fantasma, Breezango and Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. Triple threat, number one contenders match. The winners will face Imperium. They didn't say when, but they will face Imperium for the NXT Tag Team Championships. Undisputed Era was out next. Undisputed Era came down to the ring for Adam Cole's big face-off with Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee accepted the invitation to come on back to the impact, well, to the impact zone. Come on back to Full Sail. Come on back to the Full Sail zone. Here comes Pat McAfee, but he didn't come alone. He did not come alone. You never want to come alone. He came, he showed up with some of his football friends as backup. A.J. Hawk, Darius Butler. 28 years, he said, of NFL experience is what he brought with him as backup here on this show. And he proceeded to cut a great heel promo. There is nothing bad or negative that I can say about this promo. Thankfully, he didn't rail on his height and all that kind of stuff. I hated that. I still think that was incredibly stupid. You could have had him be a dick to Adam Cole and say a million different things. Call him out for not being tough. But I still think it was a huge mistake to call all that attention to his size, and he's short. He's an angry elf. I mean, this guy was the longest reigning NXT champion in history. This is a guy that this company, in theory, would be priming as one of their big stars of the future. Yes, he's a small guy compared to a lot of other people on the roster. We know that. I still, for the life of me, cannot understand why they would want to draw attention to that. Why would you draw attention to the one thing that people would look at, you know, would look at with Adam Cole as his only weakness? And they turned it into a storyline. And I think that was stupid, and I didn't agree with that when they did that. But he proceeded, did McAfee, to cut a great heel promo. This was, he was tremendous. I thought Pat McAfee was tremendous in this segment. He cut a better promo. He was so relaxed and had more poise and charisma on the microphone in this promo than a lot of people who work full-time as their craft work full-time for this company. And this guy walked in and he cut a promo like you could have dropped him or dropped a promo like this in, I think, any territory back in the day 30 years ago, and it would have been like an Andy Kaufman thing. He would have gotten over. He would have been hated. It would have been great. So I give him a lot of praise for it here. He told Adam Cole that he was, you know, you were untouchable for over 400 days. And then I came in and it took 1 minute for me to knock your ass out. Said 2 weeks is all I'm going to need to beat you. And you're going to have to explain how you lost to an outsider. He said, I am next level. I am on another level than you as a human being. Just completely putting this guy down. So Cole took a step forward. Bunch of idiots got in the ring trying to separate them, and Cole knocked some of them down. And he got right up in the corner, right up in McAfee's face, face to face. And he said to him, on Saturday, I'm going to make you my bitch. And with that, Undisputed Era walked out. And that was the end of the segment. This was a very good segment. At the end of the day, it's still the longest reigning NXT champion in history coming off that run for a match against a football player, an ex-football player, who's never wrestled a real match a day in his life. I know he talks about Rip Rogers and put a ring in his home so he can train. Clearly he's a fan. And I actually think McAfee is going to impress a lot of people in this match. I think he's going to do things in this match that people would not expect. So I'm not even going to say the match is going to be a total disaster. I think he'll probably shock a lot of people. It may turn out to be a good match. May not be, it's not going to be at the level of some of the best, you know, takeover matches that Adam Cole has had. Adam Cole still had, in my opinion, the greatest takeover or NXT match of all time in New York last year against Johnny Gargano. I don't expect this to be at that level, but it's still Adam Cole against a football player. And you know, again, he's a celebrity. I mean, not to as many people as they may think, I don't think. You know, he's probably a B or C level, right, celebrity. It's not like getting The Rock to come back or getting, you know, LeBron James, who's actively playing or something, or even like a Mike Tyson or so. Well, I guess they already had Tyson, but, you know, I just question, because to me, what is the end goal here? And I said this weeks ago. If the end goal here is to use this as a storyline advancement tool to get to whatever the next development is going to be, let's say, in the relationship between Adam Cole and Undisputed Era, all right, it's a way to get to whatever the real play is here. If this is just about the match and McAfee's going to come in and do one match and disappear, and there's no storyline advancement, there's no turn, there's no nothing, then what is the best outcome here? There is no good outcome. Either Adam Cole beats a guy that he should have had no problem beating. I understand Pat McAfee is an athlete, but he's not a fucking wrestler. Adam Cole, small as he may be, as the longest NXT champion of all time, should beat this guy in a minute. Plain and simple. Now, that's not going to happen. This match is not going to end in a minute. The alternate is if Pat McAfee wins, and that would be fucking stupid. Pat McAfee should not be winning this match. Not unless Undisputed Era just attacks Adam Cole. And this is not a no DQ match, so it's not a street fight or anything like that. Short of UE just out of nowhere, just beating the shit out of Adam Cole, to me, there's no outcome here that really makes this match worthwhile. Now, it may turn out to be entertaining. I just think I'm looking ahead. I'm looking at the bigger picture. And I'm going to have faith that NXT is as well. I would not have the same level of faith if this was on Raw or SmackDown. I have no faith. You talk about looking ahead long term, I have no faith at all. NXT, they've built up goodwill with me over the years. I trust that there is a direction they are going in here, and this is not just a play to get Triple H a few minutes on ESPN. Because if it is, I don't think this is going to do the kind of business that they expect it to do. I don't think they're going to have a ton of people tuning in who normally would not tune in just to see Pat McAfee. I'm sorry. But the segment was good. Segment itself was good. Lupo Della Luna with the $5. When Lance Archer says everybody dies, he wasn't talking in character. He was talking about how WWE mistreated Renee Young. Just Jared from Brooklyn with the $10. Glad you're finally doing an NXT stream instead of the all X's of WWE AEW show. Also, my sister Jackie wants me to put that she thinks you have really pretty eyes as I roll my eyes here. Wow. They're very blue. I don't know if you could tell, but thank you. Tell Jackie I said thank you. And a dry chicken without flavor. Undisputed Era versus Pat McAfee, or as he said, McCaffrey, and his crew in a War Games match equals absolutely not. Yeah, I don't know where you're getting that from. Yeah, no. No. Why don't we just bring in a whole bunch of random football players who have no idea what they're doing, and we'll put them in a War Games match. Sure, why not? Why not? Better yet, how about this? Since the War Games match usually happens in November, right in the middle of the NFL season, I got a great idea. Why don't we take active NFL players in the middle of the season and put them in a War Games match? I mean, what could go wrong? I'm sure the team presidents, right, and the general managers would love that. I'm sure they would let those guys go do that, right? Sure, of course. Put them in Thunderdome. I'm going to talk about Thunderdome on the stream tomorrow. I'm going to be live on YouTube tomorrow. I'm going to tell you more about that in a few minutes here. Rhea Ripley and Shotzi Blackheart against Mercedes Martinez and Aaliyah. Mercedes Martinez and Aaliyah. Shotzi, they came back from break. And Shotzi Blackheart was in trouble. Mercedes Martinez had her in a bit of a pickle, you might say. Finally, she gets the tag. In comes Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley just systematically starts to dismantle poor Aaliyah. And she had an electric chair drop here. That's one of my favorite super chats. Look at the way Vader just dumps that kid. I wonder whose kid was that. Maybe that was his kid. That's kind of how my father treated me when I'd get on his nerves. Just dump me like a sack of garbage. Look at that. So anyway, the big moment here came at the end of this match where it was Rhea and it was Mercedes. And Mercedes was on the apron. Rhea grabbed her in the powerbomb position, and she powerbombed her. She powerbombed this woman onto the concrete, so over the barricade. Now, again, when they did this, we couldn't see. We actually could not see the moment of impact. This was a taped show, and it looked pretty brutal. I am sure that they had the crash pad out, just like they had the crash pad out way back when Elias, right, had his big fall from the perch at the hands of King Corbin before WrestleMania. Just like, hey, there was an episode of NXT where Velveteen Dream did a giant diving elbow from the top rope over the barricade onto the concrete. Now, do you think that he actually dove onto the concrete? The advantage of doing these tape shows is that they can roll out the crash pad. I certainly hope they did here. Otherwise, that was a very, very... If it wasn't, that was a very, very dumb spot if it wasn't. Shotzi, at the same time, hit the top rope senton on Aaliyah, got the pin. And so now there's no real reason to see Rhea Ripley against Mercedes Martinez. I thought maybe that was going to be a late addition to the show on Saturday, and apparently that's not the case. I'm thinking that Rhea and Shotzi could be in line. Now, I know this was only their first match together. Before it was Shotzi and Tegan, Shotzi is going to be rolling through different tag team partners here. But I think Rhea and Shotzi is a tag team as the ones challenging Bayley and Sasha at Payback and winning the tag team titles from them. Could be interesting. I would definitely give that some thought. I think that could be a definite possibility. Cube of the Goat, Michael Jordan or LeBron? Jordan. Come on, man. Michael Jordan. It's MJ. They still sell sneakers for this guy. He's been retired for how many years now? Keith Lee and Karrion Kross, they gave them a video package. They were not live on the show. Well, nobody was live. It was taped. But you know what I mean. Video package treatment. I thought the video was very good. The choice of music was somewhat suspect. They set this to Frantic by Metallica off of their Saint Anger album from, what was that, 16, 17 years ago now. That's sure to piss a lot of people off. I didn't go and see what other people were saying, but I already had a couple of replies to me talking about Saint Anger. I knew that would happen. It would be like putting this to a Nickelback song, which, by the way, I'm going to stick up for Nickelback because Nickelback actually has some songs that I like. When Nickelback had the Monday Night Raw theme a few years ago, I thought that was one of the better Monday Night Raw themes that they've used over the years. I think I like the Nickelback theme they used better than that, I just want to be loved. I don't know why everybody loves that song. As a theme for Monday Night Raw, it doesn't even make any sense. I was never really a big fan of that. I just want to be loved. Give me Nickelback. The Nickelback theme was better. You could disagree with me, but you'll be wrong. But yes, they used the song off of Saint Anger. But never forget, WWE used Saint Anger as the official theme song for SummerSlam. You know, we have SummerSlam this weekend, SummerSlam 2003. They used Saint Anger as the official theme song. I actually thought the song worked nicely with the video. I'll say that very quietly so people don't throw tomatoes at me, but that's how I felt. And, you know, it's tough to figure out the finish here. I'm going to do predictions in a second, but these are two guys that should not be losing. Keith Lee just won the NXT championship. He gave up his other title so that he could focus on this one. And a month later, a month and a half later, you're going to take the title away from him? Karrion Kross, they've rolled out the red carpet for him in Scarlett ever since he debuted. He's undefeated. They've kept him very strong. The big fancy entrance. He really shouldn't be losing either. So they've kind of put themselves like backs against the wall. They could do some kind of a non-finish or a DQ finish. I think that would be incredibly cheap. That would be a cop-out. That would be incredibly lame for your big 30th edition of TakeOver. In the main event, your big championship match, you're going to have a DQ or some kind of non-finish. I mean, I would expect there to be a rematch, but still. I mean, to me, that would be very lame. And that's really something I would expect from the WWE main roster, not from NXT. NXT when they do these shows. Again, they've built up a lot of goodwill with the audience over the years. When I watch Raw or SmackDown, I expect crap finishes. That's just the way it is. You watch Monday Night Raw any given week, you expect crap finishes. When I watch an NXT TakeOver show, I don't expect that. I expect the winner. I expect a good match, a great match, and a clear winner. So if we assume we're going to get a winner here, I guess in a way, it's kind of cool that this is not a match that is really all that easy to predict. This is not a predictable outcome to this match, which I guess is a good thing. Zachary Showalter, did Retribution lose the address to Full Sail? Well, you know, I guess the GPS had sent them one way. You know, you can't always rely on the GPSs. I mean, my GPS sometimes will tell me to go, like, into the city, but it's taking me, like, through a wall, you know? Like, if I just follow the GPS blindly, I would crash into a concrete barrier. So sometimes the GPS just leads you astray. You know, maybe it led them somewhere else. Finn Balor against the Velveteen Dream. This was the second of two qualifying matches. The last chance qualifiers for the North American Championship match, the ladder match at TakeOver. Before I get into the match, I mentioned earlier today, Triple H had an NXT TakeOver conference call. He does these every month or every few months when they do TakeOver. He gets on with a bunch of media people, wrestling media people. Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net was the first person to get the question in about the Velveteen Dream. He asked about the Velveteen Dream accusations, said that he wanted to know about this investigation. He mentioned something about Nia Jax not being happy with how WWE handled this. I don't know how he came to that conclusion. The only thing I could find is apparently Nia Jax had posted a reply to a post on Instagram. And it was some kind of media outlet. I don't know what the media outlet was, but they posted a story about Triple H talking to CBS Sports about the Velveteen Dream, saying that they didn't find any evidence of anything and he's been cleared. And Nia posted one comment and it was all clown emojis. So if you didn't know any better, you would think that she was calling either Velveteen Dream or Triple H a clown. But she didn't specify. She just posted a whole bunch of emojis. I have no idea if that's what Jason Powell is talking about. Now we'll have Nia Jax come out and say, I never said that. But in any event, he wanted to know about that. Triple H, his answer was very interesting. He said they do take the situation seriously. He said that they looked into it and they found nothing. He says if more evidence was to come forward, they'll be happy to look at it. But he was basically annoyed. And he said, I've already talked about it. I'm not going to talk about this anymore. Let's move on. And he didn't want to address it. So he didn't want to address it. He didn't want to address, you know, I know the second accuser said, nobody contacted me. If they did a thorough investigation, nobody contacted me. Triple H just wants to move on. As is evident by the outcome of this match. So out comes Velveteen Dream for his match with Finn Balor. For whatever reason, in the middle of this match, Velveteen Dream looked into the camera and he howled like a wolf. Velveteen Wolf, I guess. I don't know what that was all about. Is he trying to do like a Wolfpack impression? Maybe he was doing like a Wolfpack impersonation. He has kind of done the Hogan, Hollywood Hogan cosplay before, so I'm curious now what his attire of choice is going to be for TakeOver. He usually has this big elaborate entrance. He comes out dressed up like somebody else. Maybe he should dress up. Well, you know what I'm not going to say. So Balor fought back. He knocked Dream out to the floor. And as he knocks Velveteen Dream out to the floor, who should walk out but Cameron Grimes? Here comes Cameron Grimes. He's got that shit-eating grin on his face. He's sauntering out. Cameron Grimes, here he comes. And Cameron Grimes comes out, and they immediately cut to commercial break. They cut to commercial right away. This is the second break in the middle of this match, which was a bit much. So they cut to break. They come back. Grimes is now atop one of the ladders at ringside. He is on top of one of the ladders. He is there watching the match. He's got the North American title. He's holding on to it. He's keeping it warm. Balor sends Dream into the corner. And Dream does the Harley Race Triple H corner bump where he flips over the top rope and lands on the floor. Balor starts to climb the ladder to go after Cameron Grimes. He's annoyed. He's climbing up after Grimes. Dream pulls him off, drops him face first on the apron, puts him back in the ring. Back inside, Dream goes for the Dream Valley Driver. Balor counters. Balor up to the top rope. And again, he allows himself to be distracted by Cameron Grimes. Cameron Grimes is on top of the ladder. Balor is briefly distracted. That gives Velveteen Dream enough time to jump up to the top rope. Hits a superplex. Both guys are down. Johnny Gargano comes out. He tips the ladder over. And he knocks Cameron Grimes into the ring. And as he's falling into the ring, Cameron Grimes collides with the referee. Ref takes a bump. Now the referee is down. But now Grimes finds himself in the ring in the middle of this match. And Balor gives him a double stomp. Velveteen Dream hits him with the Famouser. Balor hits Dream with a sling blade. Dream follows with a super kick. Back and forth we go. Out walks Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed chases Johnny Gargano into the ring. And as Gargano gets in the ring and he's backing away from Reed, he backs right into Damian Priest. So now Gargano is trapped between a rock and a hard place, as if he hasn't had a tough enough night. This guy almost died. Why can't they just leave this guy alone? But now he finds himself in a very bad predicament here. And so Gargano gets wiped out, and we get a stare down with Priest and Reed, who had a match last week that Reed won. Two big boys here, they start fighting back and forth. They take each other out over the top rope and out to the floor. Balor knocks Dream out of the ring, hits a dive out over the top rope onto Reed and Priest. But Timothy Thatcher comes out. I forgot about him. Timothy Thatcher comes out, he attacks Balor. And back inside, Dream connects with the Purple Rainmaker elbow. And the referee wakes up conveniently just in time to count the fall. And yes, the Velveteen Dream is going to take over 30. He and Johnny Gargano fill the final two empty spots in that ladder match. Gargano comes in. He super kicks Dream, puts an end to his celebrating. And then one by one, everybody comes in, takes turns hitting their moves. Until finally, there's only one man left standing in the ring, and that is Big Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed has the North American Championship in his hands. He's posing with the title as they fade to black and they go off the air. And that is your go-home edition of NXT. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to make a bold prediction. You're not going to hear any other podcast or any other show make a prediction like this. This is going to be I'm going to blow your mind right now. I'm planting my flag in the ground. And I predict that NXT, this time, tomorrow afternoon when the ratings come in, NXT is going to win. I think this is going to be a win tonight for NXT. I know. I'm taking a chance by being so sure of myself. But I do believe NXT will finally get a win. A big win. Big win for NXT tonight. I thought it was a good show. I got to tell you, because I watched Dynamite first, I mean, I watched both shows, so I can say this, but I watched Dynamite live. I'm here with you guys every week talking about Dynamite. There's just a certain energy to Dynamite, the production of the show itself, that NXT lacks. And that could be why there's that gap. There's that difference every week where Dynamite pulls ahead on most weeks that much more than NXT. Maybe it's the setting. Maybe it's being in the empty Full Sail. I don't know. But there's just a certain energy that this show was missing that normally would be there on a Wednesday night. And that's not me hating on NXT. I enjoyed it. It was a good enough show. Different vibe. There's a different vibe for NXT as compared to AEW. And even Jim Cornette, and I don't remember where I heard him say this. It was probably some YouTube clip, and I wish I remember the exact quote. But even Jim Cornette, who all he does is shit. He shits on AEW, everybody except MJF and I think FTR. Other than that, he shits on everything AEW related. But even he recently made a comment. Because he watches both shows for his podcast. And so he had watched NXT. And he made a comment about how NXT is... I wish I remember the exact quote. But it was like... It's a very good show. But like basically not very exciting. It's just... It's kind of there. The wrestling can be good. You know, it's a perfectly competent, well-produced wrestling show. But there's just... You don't have that feeling like, oh man, I gotta be there to watch NXT. And NXT used to have that. And there's just, I don't know, there's just something missing there now. So anyway, that was my feeling when this show was over. I don't want to say the whole show was dull, but there's this sense of urgency that just was missing there. Now, TakeOver, as I mentioned, is this Saturday. Before I talk about TakeOver, let me just check one thing here. All right, so we're still good here. We're chugging along here. We got a lot more yet to come, so I want to thank everybody who is joining me here tonight and everybody who has sent in a super chat so far. I do acknowledge each and every single one of you, so I do appreciate the help. You know, we take phone calls at the end, and that ain't free. So again, all of your support is very much appreciated. Now, TakeOver is this Saturday on the network, and I want to run through the card real quick here and just give my predictions, which really haven't changed. That pre-show match, the number one contenders tag team match with Legado del Fantasma, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, and Breezango. I'm going to go with Mendoza and Wild. I'm going to pick them to win, even though it gives us a heel versus heel match, but I kind of think they want the belts on them so that all the members of Legado del Fantasma have gold. They'll have the tag belts. Escobar has the cruiserweight belt. They like doing that. They like doing that with factions. So I feel like they're probably the ones that are going to go over here. We have the North American Championship ladder match. Bronson Reed, Damian Priest, Cameron Grimes. Velveteen Dream, Johnny Gargano. Those are your participants. Again, kind of unpredictable. You really can make a case for anybody in this match, I would say, except Gargano. I see absolutely no benefit to putting the North American title that he already held back on Johnny Gargano. Dream, I could see them doing that. And boy, are people going to be pissed if that happens. But Gargano is really the only one who I wouldn't even entertain the thought of it. I really wouldn't. I know, you know, he's still in the midst of this heel turn. But he's already been the North American champion. He's been the NXT champion. What does he need to win the North American belt back for? My pick in this match, I'm gonna stick with my prediction. I'm going to stick with my prediction, which is that Cameron Grimes is going to walk away the North American champion. I don't know why. I just feel like most people would not pick him, and they probably feel the same way. But they are clearly high on this guy. They are clearly very high on Cameron Grimes. There's no doubt about it. The way they've pushed him, as competitive as he was with Keith Lee just a few weeks ago, that tells me that they see something in this guy. I'm going to pick him to win. We have Io Shirai defending the NXT Women's Championship against Dakota Kai, who now has Raquel Gonzalez back in her corner, which probably doesn't bode very well for Io, but I don't see a title change here. I think Io Shirai is going to retain. I think she's going to remain the NXT Women's Champion, so I'm picking Io for the win. Adam Cole against Pat McAfee. Adam Cole. Need I say more? I think this match is going to shock a lot of people. I think this match is going to turn out to be good. But I'm picking Adam Cole to win because, again, if there's any other outcome to this, are you kidding me? This was the number one star in your brand. This was the A number one guy in your brand for over a year. You can't have him lose to an ex-football player. I'm sorry. Having his first match, you can't do it. You can't do it. Now, I still believe that the end goal may be that Undisputed Era will turn on Adam Cole. But I'm still going to go with them. If it happens, it may not happen that night, or it may not happen until after the match. I cannot envision a scenario where I would be okay with Pat McAfee winning. Unless Pat McAfee was suddenly going to become a full-time NXT star, which he is not. He's got a big mouth. Maybe he could be a manager. Adam Cole's going to win. Adam Cole needs to win. Adam Cole should win. End of story. Period. End of story. And that brings us to the main event. Keith Lee. Keith Lee against Karrion Kross for the NXT Championship. A very hard match to predict. And there may have been a spoiler. I'm sure some of you saw this on social media. It could be much ado about nothing. It could just be an advertisement. But if you don't want to know, then maybe you should look away. Mute the stream and look away for 30 seconds. I'm going to show you a picture. This is from the WWE Shop Instagram page, which has since been deleted because everybody started making a big deal about it and they deleted it because they're freaking cowards. I do want to show you this, if I could find it here. This is what they had up a little bit earlier on. There it is. Doesn't look bad with it, right? Doesn't look bad with that title. There is Karrion Kross and Scarlett holding the NXT Championship. Now, they had this up. Apparently, they had this up a good part of the week. So, was this a case where they jumped the gun? Was this a case where it doesn't really mean anything? It's just the picture, and they're just having an NXT star model the championship that he hopes to win on Saturday. Not saying it's a spoiler, but it could be construed that way. So anyway, I thought that was interesting, and you might be interested to know about that. Magician Sapphire, thank you for the $10. I super chatted because I want to hear you say Cameron Grimes again. Well, there you go. For your $10, my God, it's the least I can do, right? It is the least that I can do, and I saw you. I saw you, AD Barnyard. AD Barnyard 90 with the $5. And my good buddy Raymond Medina, oh my goodness, Raymond the Mountie Medina, who is a big supporter of the show, is now dropping super chats here on this live stream. And he just took the lead. Look at that. He just took the lead up here on the leaderboard with the $20. So thank you to him. There you go, Raymond. That's for you, buddy. Now you can see your name up there. You can see your name up there in stars. See your name up there in lights. I love it. Raymond, I hope you're doing well, man. I hope you're doing well. And Jackie Williamson with the $10. Usually I watch WWE and sports shows at work, but we are temporarily closed. I guess you will be my update via my brother. Velvet should dress as Pennywise. And yes, you have really pretty eyes. Maybe I should start wearing sunglasses. That wouldn't work. Only douchebags wear sunglasses indoors. Or as Corey Hart would say, sunglasses at night. But this championship match, NXT, Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, I'm picking Keith Lee. It's a coin toss. I mean, it really is. Hey, Turbo, what's going on, man? It is a coin toss. But I'm going to go with Keith Lee. I don't think it's right to take the championship off Keith Lee so soon. And it's not as if they do, you know, he's gonna fall back down the card. There'll probably be a rematch or a gimmick match at the next TakeOver, which is coming up in October. And sometimes you need your baby face to chase, right? But those baby faces usually get a few months. they usually get a little bit of time. They made such a big deal. It was such a big celebration for Keith Lee when he won that championship. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I just can't get over the fact that he gave up the North American title. That's the thing that gets me. He gave up the North American title, which I agreed with, but then to take this off of him, I mean, he's just going to look like a fucking idiot. it's just what he's going to look like, and I don't know. I'm going to pick Keith Lee. Keith Lee is my pick. Dry chicken without flavor, thank you for the 10. NXT is like having chicken noodle soup with a side of plain bread. Well, AEW is like having barbecue pork, chicken and ribs with sauce, and a side of baked mac and cheese. Well, the joke is on you, Dried Chicken, because I can't eat mac and cheese. I haven't been able to eat mac and cheese probably in 25 years. And I love chicken noodle soup. It is one of my favorite foods. I will happily, happily take chicken noodle soup and a piece of bread. You don't know who you're talking to. You think you're threatening me? You're rewarding me. John Falchetta. Bro, your Russo impression is better, bro. Bro, it's a better impression, bro. and Jacob Harrison with the five. Could you see Karrion Kross losing to Keith Lee and get called up to challenge Drew McIntyre after SummerSlam? Well, that is an interesting idea because, and this is part of what I'm going to talk about actually on my SummerSlam prediction stream tomorrow. Should Drew McIntyre retain at SummerSlam? He has nobody to face. There is no one. I mean, short of a rematch with Randy Orton, there's no one. That's how thin they are on that brand at the top of the card. And by the way, if Randy Orton wins, it's only marginally better. He'll have Aleister Black, maybe Kevin Owens, but that's really it. They don't have a lot of guys. They don't have a lot of options. If Drew McIntyre wins, what is it, back to Dolph Ziggler? Not a lot of Seth Rollins. These are people he's already beaten. Karrion Kross is a heel. You call up Karrion Kross. I don't know about putting him right in the championship position, though. This feels too fast. That would feel way too fast. But you know what? I can see Vince McMahon falling in love with his act, with the entrance, with Scarlett. I could see Vince McMahon being like, I want that guy. I want that guy in the Thunderdome. I want him with the big entrance, the big grandiose entrance and all the theatrics and everything. So wouldn't shock me if Vince wanted him on Raw. Raw would be the place for him to go. They need heels. They need people at the top of the card. So yeah, I could see it. I don't know that I would do that, but I could definitely see him. I could definitely see him doing that. So I mentioned before we get to the Twitter poll, very curious here to see what the Twitter results are. I am going to be live again on YouTube tomorrow, less than 24 hours from now, 1 o'clock Eastern. So at 1 p.m. Eastern, if you're in the middle of work, take a break, bring it up on your phone. It's your lunch hour. Fix a sandwich. Fix some hot chicken noodle soup. People think I'm joking. I could have chicken noodle soup anytime. I had chicken noodle soup a few weeks ago. It was 95 fucking degrees outside, and all I wanted was chicken soup. And I'm sitting here, and I'm having this soup, and it was so good. And you should see it. When I'm done eating the soup, I'm dripping. And I'm like, why is it so goddamn hot in here? And my brother's like, because you're eating fucking soup. It's 95 degrees. I love it. I love it. So have your soup, have your lunch. Join me at 1 o'clock tomorrow. We're going to be talking about SummerSlam coming up this Sunday. We'll be doing predictions. And again, the hybrid stream. The hybrid stream Saturday night. It's going to be a busy weekend, right? Because Saturday night we got TakeOver and AEW Dynamite to talk about. And then, of course, episode 666 of the Sound Off on Sunday. And then Sunday night right back here live on YouTube again for the SummerSlam recap and the Wrestle Rumble contest. Man, we got a lot of good stuff coming up. Join me. Join me. I hope you're ready. It's going to be a lot of fun. Speaking of which, I do have to mention this. When I mention Wrestle Rumble, they're having a draped in gold contest on Sunday night. And on the SummerSlam stream, when SummerSlam is over, guess who's hosting the contest? That's right. That's me. So if you have not entered, it's just $1. It's $1. You will win if you are the winner. This is winner take all. You will win the Winged Eagle, the Classic Intercontinental, and two Classic Tag Team Championship belts, and a mystery belt. I know what the mystery belt is, but I've been sworn to secrecy. I will reveal all on Sunday night and pick a winner. So get in on that. You can enter as many times as you want. It's $1 each. So go to WrestleRumble.com, and you too can be part of all the fun. I'm looking forward to that. Man, these contests get bigger and bigger. I keep telling Wrestle Rumble, man, you gotta calm down here. You're going to go bankrupt buying all these belts and FedExing all these belts to these people. But he says, no. This is what people want. This is what people need. You know what you need to do? You need to go on Twitter and vote. Here's the NXT poll. 62.3% thumbs up, 37.7% thumbs down. And that is in line with what NXT does on a lot of weeks. I mean, usually the NXT numbers are a little bit higher than that, but Not by much. Honestly, this pretty much mirrors what the NXT show does in the poll every week. So even without competition, I'm very curious. I am genuinely curious to see what this rating is. And I made the comment last week. I said, if they can't do at least 800,000, I understand there may be other sports competition on TV. But I mean, they had 750,000 people watching NXT 2 weeks ago. You mean to tell me that with AEW completely off the air, you can't pick up at least 50,000 more people than that? So if they don't do 800K, to me, that's a massive fail. That is just a massive fail. We'll find out tomorrow afternoon. It's always interesting for the Thursday afternoon ratings when they come in. And so it won't take very long for us to find out. And on that note, let's get some of your thoughts in here. And any other super chats that come in, I will indeed be sure to get to them. So, let us go to the city of Tucson. Please tell me I'm correct. I want to make sure I got your location right. It is Tucson.
Yes, it is.
Awesome. Who am I talking to?
Hello? Andrew?
Hey, Andrew, what's going on?
Not much. It's just about the chicken noodle soup story. What style do you like it?
What do you mean?
And like home style or from the can?
No, I don't do from the can. I used to when I was younger. I guess home style. There's some places locally around here. I'll give you an example. There's an Italian restaurant nearby, right? They have great food. Order in pasta sometimes. Yeah. They have chicken soup. They have chicken noodle soup on their menu. They put like vegetables in there and everything. It's gigantic. It's a meal all by itself. Oh, mwah, love it. Love it. So
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
As long as it's not out of a can, all I'm right. Good.
Ah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, also, you were talking about Cameron Grimes.
Say it right.
He kind of reminds me of this.
I know, you got to say it the right way.
Cameron Grimes!
There you go.
Cameron Grimes.
Mm-hmm.
He reminds me of the Slim Pickens character, Major Kong, riding the bomb kind of vibe.
Say that again. I didn't get that last part. You sound like you were trying to rhyme.
Sort of like the cowboy that rides the bomb, waving his hat
in the air. I thought you said Awesome Kong like had a bomb or something. I'm like, what are you talking about? Cameron. Cameron Grimes. He does kind of remind me of a cartoon character. He is kind of growing on me a little, like a fungus each week. But yes, I definitely see that comparison. He is very much like a cartoon character.
Yeah. There's another question. Do you think Renee would replace Ellen?
I don't know about replacing Ellen, but I mean, would she be good for a show like a daytime talk show? I mean, I don't think she's a big enough star to warrant her own like daytime talk show, but I think she would do great. I think that's the kind of thing she would be a great. What is it, the third hour or something, or fourth hour of the Today Show? Like, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
That to me, is either that or sports, because I know she's a big sports nut. I see her tweeting about sports. I don't know what her favorite team is, but she was, like, losing her mind the other day tweeting about them. So, you know, that's kind of her background and where she's from. Maybe she could do stuff with AEW, and, you know, they also allow her to do other things. She could do a little bit of the wrestling, but also have the freedom that she just does not have in WWE. Because you got to think maybe part of it is not a case necessarily where she hated working for WWE. And again, I'm just speculating here. Maybe it was just a case where she felt like, I have all these other things I want to do. She's got a cookbook coming out. But maybe there were all these other opportunities and her WWE contract was just not allowing it. So maybe she just wanted to break free, you know? And so, yeah, I think she would be a good fit for something like that. She's got that personality.
Yeah, she was tweeting about the Golden Knights for a team since she's in Vegas.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay. The Golden Knights, the Golden Nuggets?
Yeah.
Anything else?
Trying to know, are you still watching hockey?
Well, when I start watching hockey, I'll be sure to let you know. I don't think I've ever sat down and watched a full hockey game in my life. I've seen parts of it. I watched the Rangers when they won the Stanley Cup. I did watch, actually, you know what? I did watch that. That was in 1994. That was the last time I watched a full game of hockey. I just, it was never my thing. It was never my thing.
All right. You have a good night.
All right, you too.
Be safe.
You too. There it is. Chicken soup and hockey. Chicken soup, Cameron Grimes, and hockey. We covered a lot of ground, I feel like, in that phone call. I feel like that was a productive call. So let's try to keep that going. 618.
Hey, Jason. I'm going to try and ask this question as fast as I can because my call usually drops when I answer.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you this question. Do you think it's the fact that the NXT fans aren't there right now that's making NXT feel so hollow? Because I feel like fan interaction is what made NXT so special.
That's a big part of it. And I mean, the Full Sail crowd, annoying as they could be sometimes, that was one of the biggest parts of the show. I mean, it really was like another character on the show. And then the takeover shows also suffer a lot because those takeover shows, I mean, you get these packed buildings, people losing their minds, chanting things, and now you don't have any of that. So that's a very big part of why I think the show just doesn't have the same vibe. It just doesn't have the same feeling to it. And there's nothing they can do about that.
Yeah, but like if they were doing what the Thunderdome might be doing, I think it might make a difference. But with the Performance Center wrestlers, it just doesn't feel the same because it just feels like they're playing fans.
Well, that's what they're doing.
In a way.
That's literally what they're doing. They're playing the role of fans. But we know they're... I mean, look, I'm sure they're all wrestling fans, but they're not fans. So we all know they're not fans. And Triple H was asked about the Thunderdome thing, and he said that they made the choice not to be part of the Thunderdome because they have a good relationship with the people of Full Sail. And they don't want to... I guess they don't want to offend them. They don't want to jeopardize that. So they're intentionally not bringing any of the NXT events to the Thunderdome. But if the Thunderdome gets over really well, could they install digital panels or something at Full Sail? I think that's something they would look into if the Thunderdome concept really takes off. We're not going to know until Friday night because that's the first time we'll get to see it.
All right. One more question.
Sure.
Do you think that this Seth Rollins Monday Night Messiah character is kind of wearing thin? Because I was into
kind
it when
of.
It first started, but it's kind of wearing thin.
Have you not heard the podcast? Do you listen to the full podcast that I do when I talk about this stupid gimmick? Have you heard any of my rants?
I do.
Okay, but well, just, you know, like, I watch this show and I have to listen to the greater good. The greater good. And I say to myself, what is he talking about? What does any of this mean? The greater good. It's stupid. It's just hokey, stupid shit. You know, he's the Monday night moron, you know. I don't care for it. I don't care for the gimmick. Great wrestler, but I don't care for the gimmick at all.
If he came back and did the whole 2015 Seth Rollins thing, would you have been more invested as a heel earlier this year?
Possibly. Possibly. But honestly, that started to get on my nerves towards the end. But it's been so long that maybe what's old is new again. I think, I tell you what, I would have enjoyed that more than the Messiah stuff. Yes, I would have. I would have. Just smarmy heel Seth Rollins, I probably would have enjoyed that more.
Well, not all old is good. Just ask Goldberg.
Well, Goldberg would disagree. Hey, Goldberg's the one that's got a contract that takes him through 2023. So he's got, I think, two matches per year for the next few years. He's not going anywhere. We're going to see more Goldberg soon.
Well, that's fair. He's making money.
Well, good for him.
Well,
all right,
well,
anything else before I let you go here?
Well, one more.
All right, make it quick. We got a lot of people in queue. Go ahead.
It's about AEW. People have been criticizing Cody and saying he's made himself a mid-card for life, but I think it was a good decision because he's not doing what Jeff Jarrett did in TNA. He's not making himself the main guy in the company, and I think that's a smart decision in the long run. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I mean, he could have made himself the AEW champion on day one if he wanted to. I think I would like to think he was smart enough to realize there would have been a lot of backlash. And what's the rush? You know, one day we know he's going to challenge for the title. They're going to find some storyline reason to get him in the title picture. So don't rush into it. Give other people the spotlight. Let them, you know, it's smart because you can build up other people for him to eventually challenge and work with. So it's smart. If they created this other title for him, let him hold that. And one day he'll be the champion. So yeah, I think it was smart.
All right. Thanks, Jason. See you.
Awesome. Thank you for the question. As we move along here. Let's see here. Who do we want to go to? So many options here. 609. How about that? 609. You're on the air.
Hey, Jason, what's going on? Dave from South Jersey.
Hey, Dave.
I thought tonight's show was really good. I think he kind of hit the nail on the head earlier on the review. Just something about these quarantine shows with NXT, it just feels like they can't get out of second gear sometimes. And even though the matches sometimes can be fast-paced, there's just this sense of, the only way I could describe it would kind of be like apathy sometimes. And like you said, the Full Sail crowd is definitely a big part of that. And sometimes when you switch over to AEW when it's on and you kind of see the energy at Daily's Place, you know, that can kind of draw you away from it. So I hope soon they kind of find, you know, they have to work around not having fans in attendance. They just have to find something to really draw you in. And I think it's just storytelling at this point to really help draw us in. But yeah, I really thought that the show was pretty okay for a go home show. I will say as a Spanish speaker, they really have to do something with the Legado de Fantasma name. It's just a complete mouthful. Even being a native Spanish speaker, it's just too much. I really wish they would have went with something like the Cruiserweight Cartel, especially if you're already given the name Santos Escobar, mm-hmm. You're already kind of leaning into that direction.
Well, you could just call him the Cartel.
Kind of like the idea. Or the Cartel, yeah. Something like, it doesn't have to be spelled with a C, it could be with a K, but
then again,
interesting, I had a thought, I wanted to...
Well, hold on a second. I like the name, and I know we like the name and we think it's cool, but I suppose, I don't know, I guess a few guys hailing from Mexico calling themselves the Cartel might be a little stereotypical, so I guess I could see why they wouldn't want it. I mean, they're already calling the guy Escobar, for God's sakes.
Exactly. That was kind of the counterpoint I had to that. But yeah. I did have one kind of a fantasy thing that I kind of think would be pretty cool for NXT to help kind of bring over a new talent. What would you think of, especially with Rey Mysterio, we don't really know what his status is yet. How cool would it be to have him kind of lead his own faction? It can even be the Phantasmo's faction, and actually lean into him kind of being this cocky veteran who can basically say, you know, I'm the king of the cruiserweight. There's nobody, when you think of the word cruiserweight, that comes to mind who has been at the forefront, who has been an innovator like myself, and kind of evolved himself into kind of like a King Mysterio gimmick, where he's kind of leaning into it a little bit more, leading into his past and his prestige, and kind of leading his own
I don't see it
in a sense in the cruiserweight division.
Yeah, it sounds like you've thought this out more than they probably would have, but I don't see it. I feel like he is. It feels to me, and I know he either signed a new contract or he might be signing a new contract, and who, it could be the last one he ever signs. He's not getting any younger. It feels to me the best role for him is a special attraction, and not. It would feel to me like that's something he would have done 5 to 7 years ago in his career. He's past that now. He's almost in the twilight. It feels to me like he's in the twilight of his career. That's just how it feels to me. And I don't think now I could see him in that role. It would almost be a step back. He is this legendary figure. He should be used in special situations only. And I don't know that leading a cruiserweight faction, to me, that's a Rey Mysterio that really doesn't exist anymore. It's a past form of Rey Mysterio. It's almost below him. It's beneath him. So for that reason, I don't see it. But I'm not saying it can't work if they committed to it, but I don't see that happening.
Gotcha. I think I have one more question because I know you got a lot of callers. What do you do with if this Thatcher direction is what they're going to go with him for TakeOver? What do you do with Finn Balor after that? I just feel like I can't really think of any more feuds other than the Walter one exciting in the NXT brand.
Yeah, and I'm pissed because of this damn COVID shit. We were deprived of a UK TakeOver match between Balor and Walter, which would have been fantastic. And hopefully one day we'll still get that. To me, Finn Balor has reached his expiration point in NXT. After what happened on this show, it looks like him and Timothy Thatcher is probably going to be the next direction. And I think that could be really good, but I think Thatcher should win. And I think when I look at SmackDown, to tie this back to the main roster, and I'll do my predictions tomorrow as far as who I think is going to win, but if The Fiend was to win the Universal Championship back, and I pitched this idea, I think, a month ago, Finn Balor, it's about time, it's been a year, he comes back to SmackDown. Raw and SmackDown need stars. They need names, baby faces, heels. Balor had his year at NXT. He's worked with practically everybody, right? He's worked with Gargano. He's worked with Ciampa. He's worked with Damian Priest. He's worked with everybody. Velveteen Dream. And now it's time for him to go back and for him to revisit the feud that never really had a chance to get going with him and the Fiend. Fiend beat him. And we never got any kind of rematch. We never got the Demon against the Fiend. I think there's money in that. So if the Fiend wins the championship, I could see Balor going to SmackDown. And maybe it's not until the fall, but doing something with Balor and the Fiend. Because what's left for him to do in NXT? What else is there for him to do?
Yeah, very true. I saw the question I had for today, and you got some of the callers lined up. But keep up the great work, and I look forward to your prediction show tomorrow.
Thank you. I appreciate it. 1 o'clock Eastern. 1 o'clock Eastern time live on YouTube. I'm going to be right back here. We'll have the headset on at the end of the stream when I take your predictions. So start thinking about them. I got some wild ones, too. You guys are going to want to tune into this. I've given this some thought, and I've got some wild ones. I won't say what they are or for what matches, but you'll have to wait until tomorrow for that. How about that? 1 o'clock. Dry chicken without flavor. The Demon against the Fiend with Alexa. Twisted Bliss in a storyline feud through Halloween. I can't wait for Halloween. Halloween, like if you guys have been listening to me for long enough, then you know that Halloween is my favorite holiday. October is my favorite month. It's my birthday. It's part of it. But I'm a big Halloween guy, all the horror movies and everything else, so we're going to do the streams really cool. Like we're going to have some real cool effects and shit. I got a new shirt coming out for the 13-year anniversary of the show, which is in November. But that shirt's going to be hitting the Pro Wrestling Tee Shop in October, and I can't wait to debut it. So you mentioned Halloween. I'm looking forward to October. It's going to be a good month. And Jordan DiPaola. What's going on, Jordan, with the $5? Maybe next TakeOver on October 25th. And call it TakeOver Halloween Havoc. Demon Balor against Damian Craw or... Jesus Christ. I don't even know if I'm saying it anymore. Demon Balor against Karrion Kross. And how has your girl Katrina been? Hope you are doing great. Well, I'm waiting for her to pop up on one of these shows. I'm waiting for her and Mil Muertes to come on AEW Dynamite. I don't want them in WWE. WWE would fuck them up. I would rather see Mil Muertes and Katrina show up one day on Dynamite. That would be amazing. Mil Muertes has actually been lobbying people to tweet support for him to challenge Cody for the TNT title. I can get behind that. Mil Muertes challenging Cody for the championship, walks out with Katrina. Would love that. That'd be awesome. TakeOver Halloween Havoc is cool, but I have to think that the reason they haven't used the Halloween Havoc name has something to do with trademarks or copyrights. Otherwise, why the hell wouldn't they have used it by now? So, I mean, if legally, if they're allowed to use it, then go for it, man. TakeOver Halloween Havoc sounds good to me. I'd love that. I think that's a great idea. TakeOver Halloween, what do you guys think? TakeOver Halloween Havoc. The only thing is, I don't know if they have enough room at Full Sail. I'd want that giant pumpkin. Like they had at Halloween Havoc in 98, but I think they did it multiple years. It was basically just like a giant blown up balloon. You can have a giant pumpkin balloon. right? They did a really good job with the In Your House takeover. They made it like the old In Your House set. You could have a lot of fun with that. Halloween Havoc. Even if they can't call it Halloween Havoc, call it something else. Halloween Horror. How about that? Takeover Halloween Horror Edition. Well, I guess they had the horror show at Extreme Rules. You see, they already blew their load in July. They already had the horror show. Now they can't do it a second time. Bastards. See, they already blew it. They had Halloween in July. Damn. 302. Now I'm pissed. 302. 302. Going once. I feel bad because 302 has been waiting for an hour and a half, but all right. I tried 302. I tried. I really did. I didn't hear you, so I'm going to move on here. We are going to move on to 646.
What's going on, Solid Monster? It's JC Zephyr.
JC Zephyr. What's going on?
Not much, man. Just enjoying my Wednesday. Can't complain. Did watch NXT for a little bit, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that I'm kind of about it right now. I mean, I have not really been watching it that much lately, but well, I got to say that I'm kind of concerned about the Keith Lee Karrion Kross main event. I really don't want Lee to lose that belt. I mean, you made a good point earlier about how babyface is when they win the championship. It's like, okay, that's their ceiling, and we're just going to drop it to the next like best option, like the next heel they face, like Sami Zayn with Owens and Gargano with Adam Cole last year.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is there any way that they can make a good babyface maintain a championship longer than at least 2 months or 5 months? What is there any formula that can make them to be much more credible in the eyes of fans and even to creative where they don't have to drop it immediately? Because that's, I think, the problem with all these babyfaces in WWE especially.
Well, the problem is, I think also, they really don't have any baby faces that are that over that would warrant a very lengthy title run. But if you look in history, look at Austin, look at The Rock. They never held the championship for very long, right? They never really had a long reign. John Cena had a few long reigns, but you know, generally speaking, I think they like the idea of having the baby face that chases. And I don't know that they have any baby faces right now that people are going to want to see them, you know, kind of hold on to the championship for, you know, like a year or more. It's just, I don't know. It's just not the formula that they follow. It's not in their DNA to book their TV shows like that. So.
Yeah. I think it's the idea that I think Triple H said in an interview that they like the idea of the chase, then the reign. I think that could be the reason why that they do this formula so much. I mean, unless they consider you as like their chosen one, like that they would Cena, Hogan. Yeah, pretty much those two are the only ones that come to mind. Even Bruno Sammartino, I would dare say, because he was kind of like a big baby face during his heyday. I mean, look how long he's had that belt.
Well, that was a different time. You couldn't do that today. I wouldn't want to see that today. I don't care how over you are.
No, definitely.
For God's sakes, Bruno was the champion for 8 years. That's a little bit extreme. Yeah. Even Bob Backlund, you know, it was like 5.5 years.
No. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's the issue that I have. And I just hope that they don't do that with Keith Lee because, you know, the story that they told with him was great and I enjoyed it. And
yeah. The
fact that he was double champion, it was kind of, well, I mean, I was kind of so-so with it. I was happy. But at the same time, I always look what happened with Naito. Like, they made him double champion. Look what happened with him. I don't want that happening with him.
Yeah.
With Keith Lee. So hopefully it does not happen.
And yeah, I'm over the whole two belts thing. I'm over the whole two belts thing. Yeah. So, and you want to give other people a chance. You know, to me, it never made any sense to me. People who said, oh, it was stupid what they did. You know, it was stupid what they did, taking the title off of Keith Lee, you know, let him defend it and all that. And the fact is, like, they followed the formula with Hogan and Warrior from WrestleMania 6. Warrior won the championship. He was forced to surrender the Intercontinental, as he should have been. Because what's he going to do? He's going to go lose? Warrior didn't lose very many matches, right? He lost one match to Rick Rude, and that was about it. If you're the world champion, right? Whether it was Warrior, whether it's mm-hmm. Keith Lee now. If you're the world champion, if you're the NXT champion, you've got this lesser title, and you're going to go out and lose the lesser title. Your world champion just lost to somebody underneath. Shouldn't that person be in line for a shot? It's just very convoluted. It makes no sense. So to give up the belt, total sense. You do a tournament, you do a ladder match like they're doing. I mean, it's a big attraction on the TakeOver card. If they didn't have this big ladder match, you know, that would be a huge void on the show that they'd have to fill. But I just can't get over this idea that they had Keith Lee give up the North American title, and now he could potentially lose the other championship and have no belts. And I just think that makes...
Sure.
It just makes for a terrible situation for Keith Lee, but I guess we'll find out on Saturday. I can't call it. Like I said, it's a coin flip. It could go either way. You can make an argument for or against either one of these guys winning that match.
Yeah, I see that. I mean, that's what happens when you book yourself into a corner so quickly.
Yep.
So
absolutely.
But let me get off from here. But also, I want to shout out to the chat, and also shout out to you, Solid Monster, because I'm a fan of Keenan and Kel, and that show made my Saturday night on SNCC. Along with all that, so can't go wrong with that.
Yep.
And lastly, for everyone's sake, Cameron Grimes.
Cameron Grimes.
Take care, man.
All right, you too. Cameron Grimes. You know, again, that was a little beyond my age, but I had a younger brother. My brother's 4.5 years younger than me, so he was watching that stuff at that time, and so I kind of absorbed it by osmosis. But, like, Nickelodeon was after. Like, by that point, I was too old for Nickelodeon. For me, it was the Saturday morning cartoons. That's what it was. It was the old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cartoon with James Avery, Uncle Phil, as the voice of the Shredder. I grew up on that. I grew up on the Ghostbusters cartoon, Thundercats, you know, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling, all that stuff, man. There's another one, too. I'm trying to think what it was. It was He-Man and Thundercats were huge. But there was another one, and I can't remember what it was. But that's the era that I'm kind of from, to give you a sense of things. Let's go to a 914, if this works. Here we go. 914.
Hey, Soul Monster. It's AJ from Yonkers. How are you doing this
Good,
evening?
Good, AJ. How are you?
Not pretty all right week. Everything was pretty much normal until I saw that Johnny Gargano bump. That I know it's been beaten to the bush at this point, but that bump terrified the absolute crap out of me.
Yeah,
like
that,
someone who studied anatomy, watching that, like I'm almost happy that that was a quarantined event, because watching that live, I probably would have passed out. A lot of people probably would have been like, what the hell's going on here? You know?
Yeah, I mean, imagine being Candace, you know, watching that from ringside. I'm sure that must have sucked.
Oh, no, don't even tell me about it. But other than that, I know you hate your, I know the storyline I'm about to mention, you hate the heck out of it, and I hate it too, but the Retribution storyline.
Oh, boy.
So apparently, yeah, I know. So, I'm a little bit scared of the rumors going around about, like, you know, they may be NXT superstars that are coming up to the main roster. You know, Dominik Dijakovic, Tommaso Ciampa, instead of being heard around. And I know about, you know, all their social media accounts going inactive and whatnot. But I pray to God that that is not the case. Especially for Ciampa's case. Because, yes, he's done everything he's done to do in NXT. He's been NXT champion. He's been the face of the brand. But I honestly feel like he has a lot more going for him if he continues. He can go back. He can wrestle for the belt again when Karrion Kross is the champion. He can continue that feud. He'd even win the belt for him. And if I remember correctly, I don't know if this was like a promo or like a scripted shoot, but I believe Ciampa mentioned that if he was forced to get called up to Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, he would retire.
Yeah, he made that comment that if they ever wanted to call him down to the main roster, that he would rather quit. He would rather retire and become an agent or something. And I don't think he was being facetious. I think that's honestly how he felt. But look, that was then, this is now. And there's a reason why he hasn't been on TV. I don't believe he's been hurt. Where's he? Where's Dijakovic? It seems to me there could be something there. Those are the two guys, by the way, who had some funny stuff going on with their Twitters, where they wiped their Twitters clean, and they had some funky messages, and people were trying to decode it. So something is going on here. I just can't bring myself to care. I don't like the storyline. I think it's too goofy. I'm hoping for a good payoff, in part because that'll mean that this phase of the storyline is over. I think these stupid segments where they're throwing a cinder block through a door and then jumping up and down like it's some kind of great, some kind of great accomplishment. Like, they'll literally do something, and then they'll go, yay! And then they'll all, like, high-five like a bunch of little kids on the playground, and then they'll go running away. It's like, am I supposed to feel threatened? Like, oh, I feel like these guys are terrorizing the roster, and they should be considered some kind of great threat, because I don't. I find them to be completely ridiculous, and I laugh. My first instinct when I see them is to laugh. That's not how I felt when the Nexus attacked. That's not how I felt when Kevin Nash lawn darted Rey Mysterio into the side of that trailer when the NWO was kicking everybody's ass. I don't have that feeling with this Retribution storyline. So it could be saved, but right now I think it's the absolute shits. That's what I think of the storyline.
Right. I'm just saying, out of all the choices that they got, I'm just hoping that is like the least likely. But to bring it back to something a little bit more positive, and then I'll let you go. Cameron Grimes going for the top favorite of the NXT North American Championship belt. Look, I love Trevor Lee. I've known him back in the independent scenes. I've seen all his matches. I'm a big fan of him. I think he's fucking hilarious. I'm a little bit skeptical if this is the time to like really make him shine, because he's young. He's got a lot on him. He's still got a lot to build, I think, in terms of his character. Personally, predictions-wise, for the championship belt, I think, I could be completely wrong, but I think you should give it to Priest. I think he has a lot going for him. There's like, as someone who just transitioned from a heel to a babyface, I feel like he's getting a little more character, and he's getting a little bit more favorability. So I think I can see him winning today. I mean, not today.
I could see anybody winning, except maybe Gargano, because I just don't see what's accomplished by that. And he's already had it before. Anybody else, it's fair game. I mean, I don't expect Bronson Reed to win, but there's a chance. To me, the favorites really, I mean, there's five guys in this match. The three, if I had to rank them, I mean, I'm picking Grimes. And I think part of the reason is just because I think they want to shock people. So I would go Grimes 1, Priest 2, and Dream. No, I take that back. Grimes 1, Dream 2, Priest 3 is how I would rank the likelihood, I think, of those guys walking away with the championship. And Dream had the belt before as well, but they seem to be thrusting him right back into, you know, prime position. So that's kind of how I would rank them out, predictability-wise.
He's the golden kid right now. He's been for years. He's, you know, he's young. He's a homegrown talent. Mm-hmm. Of course, they're going to try to, you know, keep him at that good spot, you know?
Sure. Anything else?
That's really it. Thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow for the SummerSlam.
I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there with bells on. I expect you to have bells too. It's going to be 1:00 Eastern SummerSlam predictions live right back here on YouTube in the middle of your lunch hour. Whether you're working, if you're not working, everybody loves to have some lunch. Grab some food, grab a beverage, pull your chair up. We're going to have a good time, and I got some wild predictions for you. Some wild predictions. And also, not only are we going to talk SummerSlam predictions, I'm going to talk about Thunderdome. Since I haven't had a chance to talk about Thunderdome yet, they made the announcement after my podcast last Sunday. But we're going to get Thunderdome Friday night, so we'll talk about that tomorrow as well. A little bit about that crazy Sonya Deville story, which is just ridiculous. I mean, talking about yikes. There's a yikes moment for you. Let's do a couple more, and then we will wrap things up here. 818.
Hey, Solid Monster. It's 812, by the way.
812, you're right. What did I say? I said 818. Yeah, it's getting late.
It's all good.
Correct. Okay, correct. It is 812. You are right.
Cool. I'm Jay from Nowhere, Indiana. I called 2 weeks ago about the Triple H matches, mm-hmm. the worst ones at WrestleMania, Booker T or Sting. I didn't get to that because I was nervous about how I was going to sound in front of the millions and millions of Solemnites listening right now.
Oh, sure. Millions upon millions, right?
Of course, of course. What the hell is up with Shawn Michaels not selling the RKO and the Punk Cake last night? I mean, on Monday?
Yeah, you know, and I was going to go into this tomorrow, but that really pissed me off because here you have a situation. Oh, man, I want to save this for tomorrow, but here you have a move.
I'm sorry.
Right? I'll just say this. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version right now. Not only it was bad enough that he really didn't sell it, right? But he didn't just get punted. He ate an RKO, which is Orton's finishing move that he beats people with, that he might win the championship with, and Orton immediately transitioned into a punt. So he didn't just get punted. He got RKO'd, and then he got punted, and he's in the corner. He looks like he had low blood pressure, and he just kind of lost his balance or something for a second. He's like, no, I'm okay, I'm okay. Totally no-sold it, and I couldn't believe it. I said, are you kidding me right now? Like, what's going on here? And of all people, Shawn Michaels, who, he knows what he's doing in there. I mean, he's not, you know, when it comes to wrestling, he's not a dumb guy, and I could not believe that. I couldn't believe it.
He was almost checking on Drew after Drew took the RKO.
He wasn't almost. He was checking on Drew. He's looking over at Drew. I couldn't believe it. Everyone was talking about the punt, but I'm like, he got RKO'd and punted. You know how many guys we've seen in the last 2 months get punted alone and they're out cold? And these are guys that are younger and more able-bodied at this stage than Shawn Michaels. And
unbelievable.
I just couldn't understand that. I just could not understand what he was thinking. There's no way he was told to do that. That was just his way of selling it, I guess. And I thought it was completely ridiculous. So, yes, I agree 100% with you on that.
I was reading online about maybe that's Shawn Michaels getting back at Randy Orton for talking shit about the NXT guys.
That's just speculate. I mean, there's no way to know unless you ask Shawn Michaels. I mean, it could be, but that to me, that's just dumb speculation. Frankly, whether it was or it wasn't, to me, is irrelevant. If it was, that's completely unprofessional. Because you're trying to put this guy over. He's in the main event of SummerSlam on Sunday. Here's my thing. That segment should not have happened. There was no need for that segment. All you needed was Ric Flair getting punted in the head. That segment should have been the go-home segment in the build to this pay-per-view. There was absolutely no reason to trot Shawn Michaels out there other than, let's just put another legend on TV and try to pop a number, which, by the way, didn't fucking work. Shawn Michaels has no connection to this story at all whatsoever. So that's the thing to me. The segment,
I guess we've all
the segment didn't even need to happen in the first place.
I guess we've missed our imaginary friendship the past 20 years.
I guess so.
What is your favorite role theme, by the way? I heard you mention Nickelback earlier, and it had me thinking. What's your favorite Raw theme?
The original. The original instrumental that they used back in 93, 94. I mean, honestly, of all of them, that's still my favorite one. I don't remember all of them offhand. I remember most of them, but some other favorites of mine, I enjoyed the Beautiful People with SmackDown, so that wasn't a Raw theme.
Right.
Well, the one from the Attitude
Across
Era.
Across the Nation by the Union Underground was really good.
Well,
2002, 2003?
Yeah, that's not one of my favorites. The one from the Attitude Era, 98, 99. Really? That one, Thorn in Your Eye, is that the one? I love that one. That was a good one, too. That one gets you.
Yeah.
That one just gets you in the mood like you knew this was going to be a badass show.
Yeah, gets you pumped and ready to go.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you, Solid Monster.
Awesome, thank you for the call.
Pablo Escobar, Cruiserweight Champion.
Pablo Escobar, ladies and gentlemen, is the NXT Cruiserweight Champion. He and his buddies in the Cartel, because that's not stereotypical at all. But you got to admit, it's a cool name, though, right? The Cartel. They don't have to be Mexican. I would like for them to use that name for something at some point. The Cartel. Twitter poll has not really changed. 63% thumbs up, 37% thumbs down. You can still vote. on Twitter at Solomonster. Let your voices be heard. Dry chicken without flavor. That would suck if Retribution destroys the Thunderdome set on Friday. They are not going to destroy the Thunderdome set. I will guarantee you that Retribution is not going to destroy the Thunderdome set. They may try. That Thunderdome set, they're putting a lot of money. That's going to be their home until the end of October. They're paying a lot of money to rent out that place. I'll tell you exactly how much tomorrow. Or you can Google it, but it's more fun if you wait than you hear it from me. I'm going to get you all those details coming up tomorrow. So I want to thank everybody for joining me. This is my first NXT on USA stream. This has been fun. We'll do it again next week because there's another AEW preemption. So just to bring you guys up to speed on what the plan is here, like I said, I'm going to be live on YouTube at 1 o'clock Eastern tomorrow for the SummerSlam predictions and a whole bunch of other things. We're going to talk about that. Saturday night, hybrid stream. So it's a takeover stream, but I'm going to try to watch all of Dynamite as well, even with the overlap. And I don't know what order I'm going to do it in. I'll probably do TakeOver first, AEW last. I don't know. But my plan is to review both. Good luck to me. We'll see if we can do that. Sunday is episode 666. Very interesting number. 666 episode of The Sound Off. Dropping on all the usual podcast platforms. That night, I'm going to be live on YouTube after SummerSlam. You'll never see it coming. That's the tagline for SummerSlam this year. You'll never see it coming. Well, we'll see. We'll see how predictable or unpredictable this show turns out to be. What is predictable is that I'm going to be right back here with you. And I hope you guys will join me and choose me for your SummerSlam coverage. We have a lot of content coming up this weekend. And again, I got something flying around here. This guy's going to join me too. He's going to be flying around here on Sunday. He wants to be part of the SummerSlam stream. So until then, be well, stay safe. Thank you everybody in the chat for joining me tonight. This has been fun. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you enjoyed Polygon Man. He'll be back too at some point. I don't know when, but he'll be back. And I'm going to see you guys again tomorrow. Tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock, SummerSlam predictions. Join me live.